Hello, and welcome to the Table and Well podcast. I'm Tennyson.
And I'm Janelle. Thank you for joining us as we discuss topics and give practical tools that help you live, grow, and be in healthy, joy-filled relationship with God, yourself, and others.
For more information and resources, or if you're looking for coaching, connection, and community, please visit tableandwellco.com. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Hello and welcome to the Table and Well podcast. This is episode number 82, and we are very excited that you are here with us. As always, please feel free to download and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. We've been off for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And we've been just trying to, it's been a busy season that we've been in the middle of and revamping labs and Table and Well and really kind of getting ready for some new and exciting things that are coming up.
Yeah. So in the process of some of our development toward the fall and reiterating our labs yet again, because this is something that we birthed 2 years ago and we're still very much in our beginning process.
Yeah.
And so as we've gone along, there's things that we've learned along the way or found real high value in along the way that we're just working on better communicating and continually improving.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows anything about the Enneagram, we both have a bit of one in us.
Yeah.
Some of us more than others. but so there's this desire for excellence and desire for wanting to deliver something that's really great and really helpful.
Yeah.
So in the process of that, one of the things that came into development even just in this last week was a community identity statement.
Yeah.
And we've been talking on the podcast about identity and belonging and what does that look like and why does that matter, particularly in a community or in a group setting. And it was funny because as we developed this, it started out like just a list of basic things. It could have been as easy as Zoom etiquette, right?
Yeah, that's kind of was in my head. I'm like, well, yeah, just Zoom etiquette things. But I think as we started to get into a bit more and as Janelle was starting to massage it some more, it really came out that no, these are actually going to can be and should be identity statements of who we are.
Yes.
And how it is for us as the Table and Well community.
Yes.
To act and to be like.
Right. And also this caution of making sure that it's not some sort of mandate that we're setting or this is how you have to behave, otherwise you don't belong here.
Right.
But really a calling out of identity. Like we've said before, the appropriate way to create identity in a community is to be sure that you're setting identity and not standards.
Right.
And even in your verbiage, being really mindful of that, just not say this is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Otherwise,
yeah,
you don't really belong here or you're not part of us.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a very important point, because when you start to make standards, it becomes this thing you have to live up to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes this performance.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn very quickly into this performance culture and performance group. And I think people do that really with the best intentions, but not really realizing that that's actually what they're creating when they create those like statements or they create those things like, hey, this is who we are. We need to do this. And then all of a sudden becomes this. So we have to live up to this thing or you're not part of who we are.
Right. And what's the point here? Why are we trying to draw these things out? The way that I looked at this as we were developing it is, what are we trying to draw out of people that's actually already there in their best self?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily creating a list of things that are for our best interest, because I think we can easily do that too, right?
It gets,
But at the same time, keeping in mind what is best for the group as a whole as well, because we have this whole concept built, particularly in Christianity, about this whole individualistic salvation experience and walk where it's all about me and my walk. And there's some truth to that. But actually, as a family and as a community, if we're really going to be the people that Jesus modeled, then it isn't just about us and ourselves. It really is about the group and the health of the group.
Yes.
The safety of the group, the maturity of the group. But the group can't be mature or safe or healthy if I'm not mature, safe, or healthy.
Right. Or if the people that are, well, no. So let me back this up, because I was going to go somewhere else. Clarify that. What do you, when you say the group can't be healthy if I'm not healthy? Are you pertaining to the people that are setting up the identity statements and the those things, or are you talking about the individuals inside of the group?
The individuals inside of the group. Obviously, yes. If there's people setting an identity, then yeah, if they're not healthy, you're right. in trouble. But also too, shifting away from the whole concept of we need someone to tell us exactly like this is how this group is supposed to be, but all of us together mm-hmm. should be setting a standard and
yeah. yep.
or setting not a standard, an identity yes. of our group, not just one person. Cause mm-hmm. we start to get off mm-hmm. the rails when one person does that.
Yes.
So like this community identity statement, you'll notice we're going to actually talk it through in this podcast and in the podcasts to come. That's yeah. what we're going to do. And all of our verbiage is we.
Yes.
It's not you will.
Yes.
It is we will.
Yes.
Because we together are making a commitment to one another to be our best selves.
Yeah.
And to go back to your question about what do you mean that it's individual, but it's also group. Mm-hmm. If I am my most mature, safe, and healthy, mm-hmm. and I'm withdrawn or I'm not a part of a community, then the community doesn't win.
Mm, yeah.
And I don't win.
Right.
Because I'm created for a relationship.
Yeah, created for community. It's a living and community.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
But the community can't be safe and healthy if I'm not. Not that, but there's a both and to this yeah. conversation in the way that community also should be the place where we can become mm-hmm. healthy.
Yes.
And know who we are and belong and all of those things in our unhealthy forms as well, right?
Yes, like yes, yes.
The whole point of joy is I'm glad to be with you no matter what.
Right.
Which means that there's some days where we're not doing so hot at that.
Yeah. And again, it's that idea of creating identity, not standards. So mm-hmm. it's not the idea of, again, you messed up, go figure it out. It's right. the idea of, man, you in that action right there, you forgot who you were.
Yeah.
And then let me remind you of who we are.
Yes.
And let's walk this back. Let's walk this out together.
Yes.
And so you're not isolated.
Right.
In that you're not left to fend for yourself, so to speak.
Right. Yeah, that's really good. And there's not this need of I need you to be X. Otherwise, I start to lose mm-hmm. my identity.
Yeah.
That the strength of the group, especially when there's a group of mature people, then the strength of the group isn't determined by one person
yeah.
either or their health or unhealth, which because we are a weak community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just honestly,
yeah.
the Christian family right now is weak because we don't have our individual health, safety, and identity. And we're not operating in it.
Yeah.
So as a group, we don't have that either. And
right.
so our groups are very weak when yeah. and they're easily threatened and they're easily torn apart by our humanity.
Yeah. Well, there's so. Yeah. And we've been talking about in our previous podcast, too, just what are those things? You know, like we talked about attachment. We talked about joy, like all mm-hmm. those things. Create a strong, healthy community.
Right.
And so if those foundational pieces, which I think, I really believe that having identity statements for your community is also foundational, mm-hmm. but you can't have a healthy, strong identity statement if the joy and the attachment or the hesed is weak.
Right.
And so they all have to, because if those things are weak, then your identity statements, I think then they turn more into performance or more into standards as mm-hmm. opposed to identity.
Yeah. And then it goes back to the individual again.
Yep.
Because we fight for that. So if I don't have healthy attachment and I don't know what it's like to be loved unconditionally, mm-hmm. then I will perform to try to earn that,
yes.
to try to keep my belonging. Mm-hmm. And I have unhealthy reasons why I need that belonging or that attachment or that love. And it, or if I'm the one who someone's seeking that from mm-hmm. and I'm the one making the offer
yep.
and I'm not healthy, then I'm also needing something out of it that isn't even supposed to be at play. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much yet to be learned and mm-hmm. matured through in order for this to be really healthy.
Yeah.
And that's why Table and Well exists. It's just that simple. Like
yes.
so many of the concepts that we talk about are pretty simple
yeah,
in concept.
Are.
They're
yeah.
not this like rocket science, like, oh, wow. I mean, some of it I've never heard of.
Yep,
right.
But
because we had never heard of it, but it's not this. You have to pat your belly and well, rub your belly and pat your head,
right.
you know, concept. It really is as basic as we just need to know who we are.
Yeah.
But Lord knows that that's not that simple and that there's a lot at play, but one of the key pieces is maturity.
Yes.
And having relational skills
yes.
and that it, and without maturity and without relational skills, our best laid intentions are going to still find us somewhere in a ditch.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring people with us to that ditch if we haven't done our own work.
Yeah.
That's so good. When we're thinking about this too, and this was a lot of our approach, is that, and you'll notice in our statements that we're about to make, that they're statements about myself, my work to do, and then there's statements about what I'm doing for the purpose of community.
Yes. Yes.
And as I'm growing and as I'm maturing and as I'm doing my relational work, I'm not just thinking about how this is going to make my life better or make me better. Although that's critical if I'm not making me better.
And it does.
Yeah.
But it, again, it goes to that. It's the both and. It's all of these statements are the both and. I'm doing these things so the community can be strong and grow in maturity. We're also going to do these things so I can be strong and grow in maturity.
Yeah.
And me growing in maturity then, like you said earlier, in turn strengthens the community. And the community growing in maturity then strengthens me.
Exactly. That's really good. And while we were sharing with friends this weekend, we were talking about the same thing in marriage. We've learned that we actually don't really do marriage work anymore because it starts with an individual work.
Yes.
If our whole goal is to fix our marriage, we're never going to get there if that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
If the most important thing is that I become healthy, whole, and know who I am and I'm healed, then a lot of those marriage issues begin to resolve themselves because it was my things that I was bringing in or your things that you were bringing in that were creating all this wounding. Between us relationally. And I think the same thing happens in community.
I agree.
That we can't expect the community, like we can make it super important that we have a healthy community or have a healthy marriage, but you can't fix that. Like actually the work starts inside of me.
Yeah.
And yes, I should be keeping the eye on the prize of out of this, I want a healthier marriage. But if my only focus is a healthier marriage, a healthier community.
Yeah.
It's not going to, that doesn't actually heal me.
It doesn't translate.
Yeah. It doesn't mature me.
That's so good. So let's just go into our statements here. So we have three main statements that we've got. And then each one of those, there's some little sub, not little, but there's some sub things underneath those. But what we want to do is we're going to just take time, really probably talk about the first one, maybe the second one here, but for sure, we're going to read them all to you. And then we're going to just talk about it.
Yeah. And I want to say too, the caveat of this is a work in progress.
Yes, it is.
These are things that are coming to our mind, forefront of our mind, but they're not necessarily a end all be all. I want to be careful to say that this isn't about telling people here's what's perfect for everyone. This is not a statement of perfection or completion or any of that. This is us sharing our hearts of what we've seen is really important in community. But just being careful that don't take this and adopt it somewhere in your community as if it's some sort of tenet of faith.
Right.
Please don't do that.
No, don't do that.
This is what we feel is important as we're building out our community and holding it really lightly, honestly, importantly, but also with hands open of we're on a journey together. Yep. Yeah. And what are other things down the road that may become important for us? Or what are some things here that may become less important that seem really important now? Because as we mature, all of us know that, you know, in our 20s, certain things were so true to us, so important to us. And then as you get down the road, you're like, maybe not that
important. Yeah.
But yet there's also 20-year-olds who you need to maybe have some things in your community identity statements that also do help those 20-year-olds understand and all of that. So I would actually, and we've talked about this before in previous podcasts, but I would actually encourage anyone who's listening, who is part of a community, particularly helping lead communities, to think about what it would our community identity statement be. Yeah. And this actually started from a list on our fridge.
Yeah, actually.
That we began writing more so out of what we witnessed happening, particularly at our community table. It wasn't us responding in a way of like, oh, we need this to be the thing because it's not working. It's more of like, gosh, the beauty of
it's what we observed already happening at our table.
And then just noting that of, gosh, look how rich and valuable that is. And look how rich and valuable this is. And look at people thriving from this situation. And look at people healing because people are doing this for one another. And so, and just one little throw in there is that listening to a few books, and he talks about the 58 one another's in the Bible, and how the point of the church is about that one another, and the point of community is about the one another.
Yep, very true.
And so this, I think, is our statement of what would it look like to be a one another.
So I'm going to read just the main three points, and then we can break them down from there. So the first one is we take care of ourselves. The second one is we are gentle protectors. And then the third one is we seek to see and be seen, hear and be heard, know and be known. Those are, And so today we're just going to take some time and the rest of this, the podcast that we have here, and talk about this very first one that says we take care of ourselves. So
that's interesting. And a community identity statement is we take care of ourselves.
Again, because one affects the other.
Right. And if we don't know how to take care of ourselves, then we can't take care of anyone else. We've learned through what we teach in maturity that step one in childhood is actually the skill of learning how to take care of yourself. And it looks really, really selfish. And kids are only focused on themselves and their own care. They're not like, oh, mom, did you have enough to eat today?
Right. No, they're like, I'm hungry and I'm taking that last piece of chicken.
Yes, they don't care, right?
Yeah.
And that's totally appropriate. But when we're adults and still doing that because we haven't gained the skill, then that can get real awkward in community.
And quick.
But yet, in all reality, many of us have missed that stage of maturity. And many of us are in our adulthood trying to regain and trying to grow and trying to mature. And we will have to go back through this phase. And so we want this to be important to say, no, it is important that you take care of yourself, whether you knew how to do that all along or whether you're still learning. We actually value that as a community, that you you have the skill of caring for yourself. Because if you can care for yourself well, then you will have capacity to care for others well. But if you don't, you will be constantly looking to the community to take care of your needs that you probably should be meeting yourself.
Well, and not even looking, not even looking towards the community to take care of it, but almost expecting the community to take care of it.
Because, or we'll develop a whole structure around taking care of other people's needs and they're not becoming participating people in the community because it becomes then a consumerism type structure that no one wins in.
So, just know too, guys, I just want to make, just say this too, when we, cause we're about to walk through these, and some of these, are specific to just some of the things that we are teaching in, in collabs. And so some of the, and it applies everywhere, but just kind of keep that in mind as we talk through these a little bit too. So, so again, so we take care of ourselves. And the first one, we statement there is we focus on doing our own work and release others to do theirs.
I actually really like this one. We can't do our work and someone else's work at the same time. In marriage, we fall. This is a huge pit that we always fall into.
Everybody does it.
And in community, honestly, right? This is goes back to the scripture of take the log out of your own eye before you go try taking a speck out of someone else's. Basically, and this helps create safety in the group of we're not going to go into trying to fix someone else or trying to correct someone else. Our job is actually to care about our own work and trust that the Lord has other people covered and that he's doing a work in them. Not that we don't partner with others, but and these kind of go in order as we talk about them too. It's a building of, am I able to focus on doing my own work and am I able to release others to do theirs and not try to control their work or not trying to fix them in the process? If I can do that, then I'll be able to do a lot of the other things on this statement as well.
So being responsible for ourselves. And what we do and what we can control and what we can just how do we grow ourselves and you grow how you grow.
We see this a lot in marriages that are hurting. Ourselves included. Part of the best and hardest work that we did was the moment where we came to this point of, okay, I have to learn how to take care of myself and I actually can't take care of you anymore or fix you or spend all my energy fixing you anymore because boy, oh boy, did I think that's what my whole life was supposed to be. My whole life was supposed to
do, revolved around fixing you.
And all while I was ignoring all the ways that I was not healthy or okay or weak or struggling or in pain. I was so focused on yours that mine was going uncared for, but I was putting it on you,
right,
to fix those things in me.
Yeah.
And that wasn't working.
No.
Because it can't. It can't.
It's not,
you can't own my work and I can't own your work.
Yep. And so, yes. So again, we focus on doing our own work and release others to do theirs. Mm-hmm. The second we statement here is we make time to fully read, process, practice, and apply each concept.
This one is really focused and specific to collabs.
It is. But I think even it can almost be used in, I think, in other ways, too, because yes, collabs, there's specific things that we talk about, and this is kind of in the weekly processing of that. But even so much like, okay, if I'm reading something or I see something that, yeah, like that really applies to me, and I can see how this will, you know, enhance my life or mature me in a different way or mature me to the place where the Lord asked me to be. It's like fully read it and process it. Mm-hmm. And if there's practice in anything that you can do, practically do those things and apply them to your life and then see how it then intermingles with your community.
Yeah, I think that's really good because a lot of communities do focus around concepts and ideas and sharing those together. But so often we'll, and this is true of church, well, so often there'll be something that we're focusing on, you know, maybe, okay, this month we're focusing on agape love or whatever.
Yep.
And it could be really specific. Like we get down into the nitty gritty of practices and concepts, whereas other communities may be more of like a general idea. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not doing my part, if I'm not going home and studying scripture for myself, or I'm not going home and saying, and going home might not even be the right way to put it, but if I'm not saying,
I'm not taking the time to do this,
my community is going to focus on agape love this month.
Right.
I want to do that for myself.
Yeah, for myself. And how do I do that in the times when we're quote unquote not together as community? Mm-hmm. How do I bring my full self to the table? Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, part of that is understanding and reading and practicing those things in real life, quote unquote, and then come back to the community and offer the observations, the practices, the
my own perspective on and how this idea intertwines with my life story.
Yeah. And can you imagine if everybody in the community did that, the fullness that would happen in that space? Because how it applies to my life is going to be different than how it applies to your life. And then we can come to community and we talk about it either in a quote unquote, in an organized time together or a one-on-one where we just get together for coffee or we go to the park and he's like, hey, you know, we were talking about agape love and I started looking at this and reading this and I was doing this and, you know, and how this is how it applies to me personally. Right. You're building the community. And then the other person's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Just the richness and the conversation that would happen and the growth, even in those maybe 15, 20 minutes of conversation that
big,
you would have.
Big game changer. Yeah. And again, it breaks that consumerism mindset. And in the maturity conversation, it breaks us from being babies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right. So in a maturing process, we grow from being infants where someone's feeding us and we can't survive without somebody feeding us.
Right.
And so they're going out and figuring out what nutrition looks like and making sure that gets to our mouth, you know, all the steps that takes. And then as children, we begin to learn, we still can't go out and grocery shop, but we learn how to work with what is at the in the fridge or what's in the cabinets. And we begin to be trained as children how to make a sandwich and all those things that, again, it's I'm going to take the time to fully learn this.
Yes.
I'm not going to pitch a fit when it's time for me to make a sandwich. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set myself to learn how to become a great sandwich maker.
I'm
going to
be part of the process of making the sandwich.
Yeah.
And
own that part of the process. Yeah. And not be mad that the sandwich just isn't being made for me.
Oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And so that's part of the piece here, because if not, we can become, and I think we have become, unfortunately, as the body of Christ, big into showing up and thinking there should just be a buffet there waiting for us to just eat from.
Right.
And then we want to complain that the things
it's not
that we
the
really
food that the, I wanted
that I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We honor our relational health journey through awareness, intention, and practice.
Mm. So basically what that means is that we honor where we're at and we're aware of where we are and what our strengths, our weaknesses, our gaps, our strengths, all of those things. And we honor that. We're aware of those. And then we are intentional about the practice that we do to grow in those areas or to fill those gaps.
Yeah, because if we're not. Well, you talk a lot about this in collabs in particular and in community 101. You talk about step one is always awareness.
Yes, step one is awareness.
And just that piece alone, we were actually talking with our friends about this weekend too, or I was,
yeah,
about what a gift awareness is, mm-hmm, but oh gosh, what a painful gift at the same time of tuning back into ourselves and paying attention to what's going on with us, mm-hmm, is half the work.
Yes.
And saying, oh gosh, I never noticed before, mm, that this is how I respond to that.
Yeah.
Or this is how I apply that. Or where this is challenging for me, or even where I'm amazing at this. And yeah, I didn't even realize that this comes really naturally for me, this particular, mm-hmm, piece. Or I didn't know, I never paid attention in my story of how this has played along in my life.
Yeah.
And how it has influenced me, good, bad, or indifferent, mm-hmm, right? Awareness of our story, really. Awareness, yeah, of our being and how we are, how people are experiencing us, how we're experiencing ourselves, how we're showing up to this life and to ourselves and to our communities, yeah, and our relationships.
Yeah. And awareness is key. Mm-hmm. Is absolutely, it really key. Is. And it's, but it also allows us to, I think it lets us know, even I think where we are and even our maturity, like it says, you know, the statement is we honor our relational health journey, but what it does, it gives us grace for where we are in, yeah, the journey. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're aware, sure, like, so we know, in our head, like we know what, where we want to go and, right, what it should look like.
Yes. You know, what we think it should look
what,
like.
What we think it should look like. Right. Right. But we can say, okay, I'm not there yet.
Right.
I'm aware of that. I'm aware that when this thing happens, I still, I find myself not able to regulate my emotions or not able to enter this part of the relationship or work through this part within me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand that. I'm aware of that. And you can give yourself grace for that. It's not in this situation. And I know this isn't what grace means, but it's not an excuse of this is where I am and this is how I am.
Right.
It is the awareness to say this is where I am on the journey.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
And I can give myself grace for where I am on the journey.
Yes.
And I'm intentionally moving towards something else and, yes, practicing moving towards the whatever that
area of growth that I want to go toward. And one thing to step back to as you were talking about awareness, remember the whole header of this is we take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not willing to be aware of where I am,
yep,
then that makes someone else in my community having to bring it to my attention. Mm, yeah. And then that doesn't always work out great, right? Right,
yeah.
So if I'm self-aware and, mm-hmm, I'm aware of my own work and I'm aware of where I am, then that allows others to be with me,
yes,
there.
Yes.
If I refuse to be aware of where I am, then others can't be with me wherever I am, good, right, bad, or indifferent. I'm glad to be with you no matter what. Mm-hmm. But we have to be real about what that no matter what is.
Yeah.
And if we're refusing to do that, then unfortunately we can't build relationship if we're not willing to be aware of what is.
Yes.
So much as just realizing and understanding what is.
What is. Yeah, that's good.
And being honest about that, because we can't grow if we don't want to be honest about where we are today. Like we're, so you true. Know, it's like, yeah, oh, I want to go to Hawaii. And it's, and okay. But the step one is where am I right now to be able to get to Hawaii.
Right.
If I'm really going to try to travel there, then I have to realize this is where I am and how challenging that might be, mm-hmm, depending on, like, we're in Greenville, South Carolina.
Right.
If I'm in Atlanta, it's a lot easier to fly to Hawaii because, yes, it's a direct, more of a hub.
More,
right?
Like, yeah.
If I'm on the West Coast, it's even easier,
right,
to get there. Yep. But part of it is like, oh, I'm in Greenville, South Carolina. So I actually have to first get to the place where it's easier to
get me there.
That can get me there more directly. Yeah,
that's
so
good.
But I can't bypass awareness and think I'm going to win. And then back that's to the good. Intention point. Yep. This we're just big about intention in the way that's how life happens is that, yes, we actually have to choose it.
You have to choose life, choose intention. Yeah.
Maturity will not just happen to us, mm-hmm, and maturity in our communities and around us won't happen just by happening. We all have to choose into that.
Yeah.
And make some choices toward it, both for ourselves and for others, but particularly on this piece, mm-hmm, for ourselves.
Yeah, that's good. We follow through on our commitment to mature both in the short and long term.
This is good. This boils down to the reality that this work is hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Any growth process is hard work. Any maturing in ourselves, maturing in community is hard work. Yeah. There's no, way around that.
Yeah.
And we often see people get to the point of it is now hard and it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we watch them step back and refuse to go any further because they can't get through the discomfort. Mm-hmm. So part of that follow through is I'm going to get through the discomfort, mm-hmm. not only for the short term.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes too, we will step back or we'll retreat when there's discomfort because we have a very short-sighted view of the benefits, mm-hmm. but also the long term. If we can keep our eyes on the long term, I think even for us in our marriage, mm-hmm. we've talked a lot about this because there's definitely marked points in our marriage where we almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
And being on the other side of that and being on the other side of the really hard work and the follow through of that hard work and the awareness of where we were and the intention of getting all through that.
The practice, all of it. Yeah.
All of it is that the long-term benefits, both for ourselves, mm-hmm. for our family, for our community, we had no clue really. Mm-hmm. what would be down the road and the fruit that would be down the road of us continuing to choose to follow through.
Yeah.
The short term was hell. Like there wasn't a whole lot of short term payoff that it looked like besides, okay, we don't have to move out and figure out how to live on our own. Like that was really, there was definitely moments mm-hmm. in our marriage where that was the only thing that was the short term motivation of, can we avoid the pain of a divorce? But we weren't thinking about the long term mm-hmm. of our maturing.
Yeah.
And I will say from our testimony and from testimony of friends that we've watched do the hard work and do the follow through, we're seeing the long term, not just the short term, but the long term. And because honestly, too, in this process of maturing, the short term is painful and it's awkward. Like we're watching friends go through awkward phases of trying to navigate their new selves, their maturing selves, particularly in a marriage.
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting because they are navigating through this actually first thing, learning how to take care of themselves.
They are.
That's mm-hmm. that's the awkward phase because especially if you've been married for any length of time, mm-hmm. you've given yourself away to this other person.
Right.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but like you've sacrificed things for yourself. For the mm-hmm. greater good, quote unquote, of the marriage or for mm-hmm. the other person.
Yeah.
And so to realize that, oh, I haven't even taken care of myself for the last 22 years.
Right.
Now, and both parties realize that.
Yeah.
Or even if one does and the other one, that's really awkward. But when they both realize it, then there's this really delicate dance of, oh, wow, I've got to take care of myself.
Yeah, you have to rewind.
You have to go back and realize that, oh, I haven't taken care of myself in this area at all. And I've just relied on you to take care of me in this area.
Yeah.
And again, not that that's a bad thing, but if you have got to a space where you've only relied on them and you have forgotten or never learned how to take care of yourself in that area.
Right.
And now you're learning.
Right.
It gets pretty awkward.
It does. And you're saying it's not a bad thing. And it makes me think about this because marriage is such a microcosm of a larger community or a larger family. Is it bad for others to take care of you? No, that's actually what we're called to do is take care of one mm-hmm. another. But what it doesn't look like is that I'm supposed to mother you.
Yes. Or father you.
Or father you.
Whatever. You're right. Yep.
Right. It's totally appropriate if I'm at the age I am now and for me to spiritually parent 20-year-olds. Mm-hmm. That's appropriate.
Yes.
Or teenagers mm-hmm. or on down. It is not appropriate for me to be still parenting you.
Right.
Or you parenting me.
Yes. No, not appropriate.
And when we talk about that care, it is that. It is we take care of ourselves, meaning we are mature enough and we have done the work to be mature enough to where we can actually meet our own needs and mm-hmm. care for ourselves. And so then the care that we receive from others isn't an infant level of care.
Right. Yeah.
It's an adult mutually satisfying level of care.
Yep.
It's no longer I have really basic needs.
Infant or child needs
that I'm still looking for someone on this earth to meet for me.
Yeah.
Which is a very real pain. I'm not dismissing the pain of that and the real need for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't just go away overnight. But that's why we do labs is to help people walk through the reality of growing through those things.
Yeah.
But our goal here and in our statement here is that the whole point is that we are maturing. We're committing to mature both in our short term gain and in the long-term gain, because we are big, big believers in developing healthy elders for our community and shifting the tide from what it has been to a new era of a whole healthy family where all generations are celebrated, valued, and have something to offer to the table so that babies can be babies and children can be children. And adults can be adults and parents can be parents and elders can be elders. And that we're not all mumbling around, bumping into one another as infants and children, wishing someone would just parent us.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think even what we just talked about lends right into the very last statement here, which is we do hard things.
Simple.
Hard. Not easy.
We actually spend a whole 2 weeks training.
2 weeks talking about.
On how to do hard things. Because that whole list above is just a series
of hard things.
But it is one of the most important maturity skills we learn as should learn as children is how to do the hard thing. And somewhere along the line, that was taken away from our childhood growth for whatever reason. I don't know. Different people have said different things. And some of it's been like in my era in the 80s, we were all very special. You're so special.
Everybody like gets a
the teacher would always stamp the paper.
Award.
Would always stamp the paper, you know, you're special. So there's a lot of that going on. And the reality is that we are special.
We absolutely are.
But there's also our part to do on this earth. In our own lives and in the lives of others. And it doesn't look like comfort all the time. We've gotten so accustomed to comfort, especially here in the Americas, where we have a million and five convenient ways to avoid hard things. And it's what we're not saying is, I don't know, you should be hand washing your dishes instead of using a dishwasher. It's not that. It's that when we recognize that there are, that there's hard work to do or hard conversations to have. Or any myriad of things where we see that there's going to take some investment from us for the greater good, for our greater good, for the community's greater good, that we're willing to do that and that we don't shy away from the things that are hard. We've talked about this a little bit in just the church community. And I made a statement one day and it's kind of resonated with us over and over. And it was kind of a trite statement at the time, but we see it. And how true and real it is. And not that we're experts at this by any means, but part of the church's growth has been stunted and will continue to be stunted until we're willing to have the hard conversations of, hey, this area of growth is needed. And then having people who are mature enough to say, okay, I'm going to lean in to do the hard thing. And I want to say here too, because we're one of the statements we made before we started this podcast is we want to be very careful to not create or share something that's, that people will weaponize. Like, let's be honest. Unfortunately, because of structures and because of hierarchies, people will weaponize things. And we'll use it to manipulate or weaponize. In this way, and even in what I said, the hard conversation shouldn't look like, you're bad and you should submit to my authority and go do the hard thing. And if you don't, then you're out of here. It's not about that. It's about our own willingness and agency. We've used the word agency a lot. I have agency over my own life and I will take it. And I will lean into the hard things that need to be done for me even.
And I think one of the things too that in that, again, that whole not weaponizing, it goes back to why are we creating this community identity statement? Like, why are we doing that? And we didn't really talk about that in the beginning. And I just, as I was looking at it, and we do this and what's the heart behind it, you know? And so we do it so that together we may cultivate joy, safety, and belonging in our communities. And that's every community.
Because that's what we want.
Yeah.
So desperately, that's what we need. That's what's missing in our society. And that's what Jesus came to create. So that is what even these few statements are a beginning toward. And there's much more to share, but we'll share that on the next podcast.
You've been listening to the Table and Well podcast. New episodes stream every Tuesday. To begin your journey to relational health, go to tableandwellco.com/community101. Again, that's tableandwellco.com/community101.